Well, good afternoon. Well, I was called Ground Zero today because as we leave this Passover season and move on, there are some of us who have not left Passover season yet and have not moved on. And I'm told that I'm to blame for that. For our visitors here, what happened was we had a virus sweep through the congregation, and a number of us were sick for Passover. And I'm understanding that that's my fault. Although I seem to blame some of you, but that's okay. So some of us can't move on just yet. We have some work to do for this Passover season. So the message that I wanted to give today, I wanted to cover a specific topic because of what happened here and for future reference. You don't hear this covered as a topic, although we all understand what I'm going to talk about. We all seem to know, but covered as a topic in a sermonette or a split sermon, it's not very often that that happened. Now, before I get into all that, Mr. Evans talked about his waffle today. I had a waffle myself because bad planning. Well, who was to know that I was going to get sick? Because in my office, I always keep two or three of those sleeves of Ritz crackers. Because sometimes I can't get lunch, I can't break away. I'll eat lunch, read an email or something, and in my office I've got this little half refrigerator. I keep little tuna fish packs and whatnot, just so I don't starve to death if I can't break free. Well, Monday I started feeling a little bad that week. Tuesday I felt really bad, and I went home sick. I didn't know I was going to be off the rest of the week, and I was off the rest of the week. Okay, so the weekend comes up, Passover, I can't attend. The first holy day, I can't attend. So I missed all of that. But I realized in my office, I knew this when I was laying in bed, are these crackers. And what do you do? Well, it's a good spiritual lesson. Because no matter how well we plan, that sin can slip in there. And so, the first day back, I bagged those things up like carrying a dirty diaper, you know, out to the dumpster, and you throw it in the dumpster, and I laughed all the way back to my office because that is how easy it can happen. The physical does show you a spiritual principle. What a strange start to the year that I've had. Some of you have had a normal start. I haven't had a normal start. I've had a strange start to this year. All of you in Knoxville know that I'm a regular speaker. I haven't been up here in months. One thing after another has kept me from it. When it was my turn to speak, I would have to go up to Cincinnati maybe and take care of my mom. I wouldn't be feeling well. Whatever the situation was, it was a very strange start to this year. And London, I haven't been in London in months. Those people must think that I hate them. Because one particular weekend, I was scheduled to speak up there. My mother had hip surgery. I had to go and take care of her. I had to go up one weekend, another time when I was scheduled to speak, because she was due some eye injections for macular degeneration, and there was nobody to take her, and so I dropped everything I was doing, and I went up to take care of my mom. And then this last week, I was scheduled to go up on the holy day. I couldn't make it up there. I couldn't make it for the Passover here. So that's what I want to talk about, not my strange schedule and sicknesses, but I want to talk about the second Passover, because some of us have not moved on yet. Some of us need to take that second Passover. That's a first for me. In 35 years, I've never missed the Passover. It's a weird feeling not being here with you. Very, very strange. And actually, that's another assignment that I missed, because I was supposed to help Mr. Evans with the Passover, and he had to do it by himself. So, very, very strange start. But you know, you're sick in bed, you can't go, you miss Passover. So now what? Well, we all know there's a second Passover. We all know that we have to keep the Passover. It's not like one of the other holy days. It's different. It's special. Especially if you're a baptized member, it's a very special thing. And if you've taken Passover at home, that's fine. That's one of the things that you could have done. You could have taken the Passover at home with a tape or with some help. But you know, the Passover is so important for baptized members that it must be taken. And there's provision for a second Passover. You know, when we participate in the Passover, it's an expression of our love. It's an expression of our faith. The great sacrifice that was made by Jesus Christ. It's an expression, an outward expression, that we've thought about that again over that period of time. We're supposed to examine ourselves. We've thought about it. And we accept that sacrifice again. We renew that. And that's the third expression, is you renew that commitment when you come to the Passover. The commitment that you made at baptism, that this is the way of life that I want to pursue. I want to pursue this excellence in my life. And so you go to the Passover with that in mind. So you have to keep the Passover every year. So I want to ask some basic questions about the second Passover. When was the second Passover instituted? How did that come about? We'll take a look at that. When did it begin? And as I had said, there's a second Passover, but there's no second Pentecost. There's no second last great day. Why is that? I think we know why Passover is so important, but we'll look at that. You take the first Passover. Should you take the second Passover? I think we all understand that once you take the Passover, you have taken it. But last question to ask is, what if I don't take the Passover? I was sick, I'll just skip it. What happens? What happens in your life? What does the Bible say? So let's begin first by answering the first question about the institution of the second Passover. Let's go back to Numbers. Numbers 9. We'll start there today. I want to read this from the New Living Translation. I always like to compare between my Bible and the New Living Translation. And specifically how verse 10 is rendered. So when we get to verse 10, but I'll start in verse 1. And this is Numbers 9, verse 1. The Lord gave these instructions to Moses in early spring, during the second year after Israel's departure. So this is the second year that they departed from Egypt, while he and the rest of the Israelites were in the wilderness of Sinai. Verse 2. Tell the Israelites to celebrate the Passover at the proper time, at twilight, on the appointed day in early spring. Be sure to follow all my laws and regulations concerning the celebration. Verse 4, so Moses told the people to celebrate the Passover in the wilderness of Sinai as twilight fell on the appointed day. And they celebrated the festival there, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And just like we did the first Passover, most of us. But in verse 6, something came up. Some people could not keep that first Passover. So let's see what it says in verse 6. Some of the men have been ceremonially defiled by touching a dead person, so they could not offer the Passover lamb that day. So they came to Moses and Aaron that day and said, "We've become unclean by touching a dead person. But why should we be excluded from presenting the Lord's offering at the proper time with the rest of the Israelites?" And Moses didn't know the answer. It's kind of interesting because in verse 8 he says, "Wait here until I receive instructions from the Lord." And he got his instructions very quick because verse 9 he says, here's the Lord's reply. "Say to the Israelites, if any of the people now or in the future," and I wanted to read that in this translation because in the future, that's us today. "So if any people now or in the future generations are unclean at Passover time because of touching a dead body, or if they're on a journey and they can't be present at the ceremony, they may still celebrate the Lord's Passover. They must offer the Passover sacrifice 1 month later at twilight on the appointed day. They must eat the lamb at that time with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. They must not leave any of the lamb until the next morning, and they must not break any of its bones. They must follow all the normal regulations concerning the Passover." So here we see that God has this provision for keeping a second Passover for those who were too far away or were unclean for some reason, or in our case, who are sick. And it was instituted by God the second year that they came out of Egypt. Now, there are a number of examples of the children of Israel keeping the second Passover. I could read a number of them, but I want to just take a look at one over in 2 Chronicles 29. So if you'll turn over there. Second Chronicles 29. And the story picks up here. You know, before King Hezekiah, there were a series of kings in Israel that were evil. And they led the people away from God towards idolatry. But we see here in verse 1 of chapter 29, Hezekiah, it says, became king when he was 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother, Abiah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. So he was a righteous king. He was going to turn the people back to God. And in the first year of his reign, he didn't waste any time. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. So we see what he was going to do here. He's going to clean up the house of God, fix it up, and make it ready for worship once again, which hadn't been done in generations. Verse 17, drop down to verse 17. "Now they began to sanctify on the first day of the first month, and on the eighth day of the month, they came to the vestibule of the Lord, and they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. And on the 16th, 2 days late, they missed the date. On the 16th day of the first month, they finished." Verse 17 shows they were already too late for the Passover. Pick up the story in chapter 30. Go over to chapter 30. Verse 1, Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. For the king and the leaders and all the assembly in Jerusalem had agreed to keep the Passover in the second month. For they couldn't keep it at the regular time because a significant number of the priests hadn't been consecrated, nor had the people gathered themselves together at Jerusalem. And the matter pleased the king and all the assembly, so they resolved to make a proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba to Dan, that they should keep the Passover to the Lord, Lord God of Israel, at Jerusalem, since they had not done so for a long time in the prescribed manner. So they went on to keep the second Passover. And as it says down in verse 15, we can pick up the story in verse 15. Then they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the second month. The priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves, brought burnt offerings to the house of the Lord. So that's one example we can find of the second Passover. So how does that apply to us today? I think we can take that application and move it forward, because what was said in the modern-day church by Mr. Armstrong so many years ago was what some of us have to do this next month coming up. If you miss the Passover, then you must keep a second Passover on the appointed day. Why is the Passover so important? I think we all understand, but I want to read this from the Bible. I want to show how important it is for us to take this Passover. Turn back to Numbers 9. We were just in Numbers 9, but I want to pick it up where I left off a little bit ago. We read up to verse 12, so I want us to pick up in verse 13. This is Numbers 9. In verse 13, but the man who is clean and is not on a journey and ceases to keep the Passover. What happened? He's going to explain, you know, if you're available, you're supposed to keep the Passover. What happens? It says that same person should be cut off from among his people because he didn't bring the offering of the Lord at the appointed time. That man will bear his sins. What does it mean, cut off? What's that mean for us? What does it mean to bear your sins? I think it's better explained by Christ's own words to answer that question. So let's turn over to John 6. All of you who were lucky enough to keep Passover read this, but I want to read it because it answers that question. What does that mean, cut off? John 6 and verse 48. He explains, I am that bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he'll live forever. And the bread I shall give is my flesh, which I'll give for the life of the world. The Jews couldn't understand, because in verse 52, they quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Stop and think about what that means. Verse 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I'll raise him up in the last day. My flesh is food indeed. My blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. So those words have some very special meaning for a baptized member. To continue to have that Holy Spirit dwell in you, you have to partake of those Passover symbols each and every year. And if you refuse, we see you're cut off. What does that mean? Well, God may very well begin to remove that Holy Spirit from you. And none of us want that. Turn over to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. This is a prophecy. This is a prophecy of Jesus in Isaiah. And we read this at Passover, and it has a lot of meaning for us. And I really like the way the New Living Translation translates these verses here. But this is what Christ has done for us. And this is why we need to take the Passover. In verse 1, who has believed our message? To whom will the Lord reveal his saving power? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, sprouting from a root in dry and sterile ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the bitterest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way as he went by. He was despised, and we didn't care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God for his own sins. But he was wounded and crushed for our sins. He was beaten that we might have peace. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us have strayed like sheep. We've left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the guilt and the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. From prison and trial, they led him away to his death. But who among the people realized that he was dying for their sins, that he was suffering their punishment? He'd done no wrong. He never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and fill him with grief. And when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have a multitude of children, many heirs. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that's accomplished by his anguish, he'll be satisfied. And because of all that he has experienced, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all of their sins. I will give him the honors of one who is mighty and great because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among those who were sinners. He bore the sins of many and interceded for sinners. That's very powerful, very powerful in the New Living Translation about what Jesus did for us and why we need to take the Passover. We have to have this applied to our sins every year by taking the Passover. So, in one sense, the Passover is the most important thing that a baptized member can do every year. They're all important, but this one cannot be missed. cannot be missed. And of course, if you've taken this first Passover, you've done this, you've fulfilled this. You've shown this outward experience that I do accept this once again. I've examined myself, and I apply this to me once again for the next year. So the date of the second Passover this year is Saturday evening, May 21st. And I know there are five or more people in here that haven't taken the Passover, and some of you already have plans, and that's fine. But if you don't have plans, I need somebody to keep the Passover with, or we will figure out how to do it by tape or whatever. But if you do need to keep the second Passover Saturday evening on the 21st, and you want somebody to keep it with, give me a call, talk to me after services, send me an email. We'll figure out where we'll do it. We'll be here Saturday. Maybe we'll hang out here. Maybe we'll go somewhere else to a home. I'm not sure, but we'll figure it out. We'll figure out how to make those arrangements to keep this very important ceremony, this very important memorial for the people of God.